Hi, I'm Charlotte.
And I'm Helly, and welcome to Growth in Progress, the podcast where we have open and honest conversations about things that aren't usually discussed, but that can help us all to grow.
In each episode, we spend some time catching up, and then we share something we think you will love from the past few weeks. It could be a book, a TV show, a podcast recommendation, or something else entirely. And then we come on to discuss a topic we think is really relevant to right now, and a lot of people who might be in their mid-20s, early 30s are probably thinking about, but aren't necessarily discussing. If you want to support the podcast, hit follow on whatever platform you're on, and please share it with your friends and family who you think might also find it very helpful. I have our producer at the end of the bed looking at me. She's just got back on the bed. She's looking at me like, She has been lying.
Producer
out.
Is the cat for anyone who's not getting that reference.
Not actually, not an actual producer.
Makes it sound like we're in a studio producing
we are not in a
professional podcast.
I'm sitting in bed with my cat on the end of the bed. So definitely not a studio. I am just going to say again, I know we've just had this conversation, but your reels about Japan are popping off and I am so bloody here for it. Like, I think your Japan content is some of my favourite content you've ever done, you know?
I appreciate that because I fucking love Japan. I mean, obviously love Japan, but oh, it's just my favourite country. I mean, obviously it's very strategic because everyone's going for the spring. Everyone's going for the blossoms right now. So that's why it's doing well, because people are about to plan their trip to go there or to be there. So yeah,
I love that you say doing
it's
well. And
exciting.
Actually, for context for everyone else listening, doing well is the same as a 6 million view reel. Let's get let that sink in. 6 million. And your cute little capybaras, I love them. Little mini,
I love them so much
with their flat little
also
nose.
Instagram definitely knows that I'm obsessed with capybaras now, because I'm now getting ads for what looks like, you know, the lights that we have next to our bed, like the sun lamp type.
Oh,
what is
yeah,
it like the
the daylight
sunrise
lamp.
lamp? Yeah, they do. I don't think they're anything like medical or anything that's supposed to help you with your circadian rhythm, but they're these glowing squishy capybaras that light up, like that glow, and they have a song. I'm not going to sing it for the sake of everyone who's listening. I will have to send you it afterwards. It is so cute, and I just find myself singing it all throughout the day. They cannot deal
You
with
have
how
one
cute
of
they are.
these.
No, I'm getting served ads for them about 20 times a day, so I'm probably going to buy one when I get back to the UK.
Who knew that that was like something that was at all like there was a gap in the market for a capybara singing light?
Well, there is, because they've found their target market, and it's me.
Talking of shopping, I have something to show you again, which I'm going to try and describe for all the listeners. But the reason I'm telling you is because obviously you're in Asia right now, and Uniqlo is cheaper there. I feel like you're going to, I'm convinced this is going to be the new it bag from Uniqlo for spring, summer. If you like the crossbody, the bag, this is like,
but it's not the corduroy one, is it?
No, because I know you've got the khaki one and I'm really tempted. They also were doing a straw one. However, this is like a more everyday sophisticated version. How good is this handbag?
Ooh, that
So
is very nice.
it's faux leather. This is like a chestnutty brown color. They do a black and they do like an off-white version. It's got a shoulder strap, so you can wear it over your shoulder, but you can also like make it fully crossbody because it's adjustable. It has a zip and it's like not too big. Like,
I
it's
love that
about
it has a zip.
yeah, it has like, it's the size of like my fully expanded hands. So, like, it's a good everyday size, but you could get a flat water bottle if you are part of the flat water bottle group, phone, charger, a book, probably like a good few snacks, all of the essentials, the little handbag organizer I spoke about last week for the like little, I was gonna say all the drugs. No, I mean like antihistamine pills and antacids, to be clear.
The medication.
Medication, that's the word. How good is this? I saw it and I was like, I have to have it. And then I thought you would love it because it's like the perfect everyday bag for if you, because it's
It's
like
so
20 quid.
nice.
So it's, if you don't need a more smart bag every day, but there are just certain times where you're
Yeah.
like, I want something a bit more than the other Uniqlo bag. It's the perfect solution. So I'll leave it linked for everyone to go and have a look, but I'm obsessed with it.
Definitely hurts because I'm 100% will not be able to get to a Uniqlo before we leave, but it's fine.
No, I would have thought you had one nearby. Is it not as big in Vietnam?
not as big in Vietnam. I don't even know if there is one in Da Nang. There might be one in the big mall, but I mean, we're leaving in like just over a week,
I
and
can't believe you're leaving so soon. In my head, it's
I know.
like, I think it's because you don't get back here for quite a while, but in my head, you're not leaving for another month or two.
I just can't deal with how fast January and February have gone. Like January, as usual, dragged on for half the year, and then February has been about 3 days. So
Obviously.
I don't know where that time has gone. But
It's madness.
yeah.
Do you want to share your recommendation for this episode?
I do, and I realize I've just written it down and then not put any context to it. But my recommendation is podcast that we might have spoken about in passing before, but I don't think we've ever recommended it. And it's the Financial Feminist podcast. Have you
Oh,
listened to it
okay.
at all?
No, I don't think we've recommended it because I've definitely not listened to it, but that sounds very on brand for us.
So the reason I found it is because it's run by Tori Dunlap, who is the owner of an Instagram account called Her First 100K. So it's not actually like the
Oh,
same name on Instagram as it is on as it is the podcast name.
yeah. I
And I will
do follow
caveat it by saying she's American. So it is, I guess, not everything is absolutely helpful, although it kind of still is for us just because Taylor can actually use some of the tips about like certain accounts and stuff that are available in the US. But
Yeah.
specific episode that I listened to is Financial Wellbeing for 2024. And it did come out at the start of January, but I was obviously late to the party. And it was absolutely fantastic. And it was talking about like a new year and new opportunities doesn't have to mean a whole new you. It can just be about being better prepared and more financially savvy. And you can
Oh, I
do
love
that
that.
through really easy, like a couple of shifts in your habits, how you think about money, even just like regularly checking your money and like getting rid of that stigma that like earning money is shameful or feeling uncomfortable talking about it. And this episode came out on the 2nd of January, and it just gave some really great tips for like having a financial date. So sitting down either with yourself or with your partner
I
or
really like
whoever you
that.
live with, and going through, and it doesn't have to be anything crazy. Like to me, that feels so overwhelming. But she was like, just look at what your goals were for last year, look how much you saved, look how much you spent, look at what your statements are, review the subscriptions that go out every month, like easy things, and then think about your goals. Like, is it to increase your like pension contributions by 1%? Is it to save X amount per month towards a house deposit? Like whatever it is, it was very, I guess she made it sound easier than it needs to be. And she's very against the, I guess, like finance bros type of language that's around a lot of finance. That's like, you should do this, you should build up this, invest in some crypto, invest in this stock market, blah, blah, blah. Her approach is very, yeah, the description of the podcast is feel financially confident in a world that's run by w rich white men. And she's always caveats everything by saying, I know I have privilege and the things I recommend are things to help you in small ways, but I also acknowledge that 70% of your financial situation is out of your control because that might be you're a marginalized group, whether that is being a woman, being a person of color, being disabled, being part of the LGBTQ plus community. Like she is very, like, really, really rejects that language around like, oh, just do this and then you'll be rich. It's like, no, there are huge socioeconomic barriers to being money. And like she's just very open about it. And I've been listening to loads of her episodes since then. If you can feel overwhelmed by like, how do I make a budget? How do I do a financial review monthly? Like, how do I
Yeah.
do these things? She just breaks it down really, really nicely.
I love
I
that.
definitely recommend listening to a few episodes.
I think it's always handy as well to hear someone break things down in easy steps that you don't have to go and do everything they say. But even things like the 1% contribution to your pension, it's really easy to sit there and go, oh, 1% will do nothing. But obviously, because it's cumulative, it does actually make a big difference over time. And you, they're the sorts of things that, like, at least I find, like, tick something off that you didn't know you were carrying.
And
And over
that
the
1%,
past.
like in my head, I'm like, oh, I have to do 5% or 10%. It didn't even occur to me that I could just increase things by 1%. And I'm like, oh, of course I can. And of course
Course I
that will
can.
make a difference.
Because it's enough that it makes a difference over time, but not so much that you really recognize it day to day. And that's the kind of like thing that I think is really powerful. I started doing the finance dates, maybe, well, that's not what I called them, but I started doing them with myself about 6 months ago. Kind of like every couple of weeks on a Sunday evening, just check what my credit card bill is, pay it off, but pay it off in chunks of what I bought. So say I spent like £100 on fuel, I would pay off £100, and then I'd pay off like the next one. So when I could then mark it in my say in my current account as what those expenditures were, and it's like a lot easier for me to remember. And just checking in on like what have I got coming up in the next couple of weeks. And don't get me wrong, some weeks it's a bit of like a, oh, okay, I've got a bit spendy this week. But it has actually really helped the anxiety around money because you just know what's going on. Like, I don't think it's always about, I mean, obviously we all want loads and loads of money, that would make our lives better. But if you're not in the financial position you want to be in, I think taking control of the situation in itself alleviates a lot of anxiety.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's like encouraging the conversations, encouraging you to just check your bank, like your like banking app every day and things like that, just getting more comfortable in yourself with like looking at money and talking about money. Yeah, definitely recommend. What's your recommendation this week?
So mine is also a podcast episode, and it is an episode of Grace Beverley's Working Hard, Hardly Working, which is her podcast. We've spoken about her a few times on here for different companies she has and stuff, but she has a podcast. It's essentially about working in really efficient ways and interviewing people who have done really interesting things. So one of the more recent episodes she's done is with Ben Gallagher, who is the one of the owners of Lux Collective. So Lux Collective is a secondhand luxury selling platform. A lot of people probably won't know who he is, but he has gone viral on TikTok more times than I can count. If you're on TikTok, if you're in the fashion space, if you're in the luxury goods space, you've probably seen his face. They started Lux Collective in 2019, him and his brother, with like a couple of £1,000, and it's now an eight-figure business. But they have really
Jeez.
leveraged social media. That is how they have done it. Like, they were on TikTok in 2019. So by the time the pandemic came and everyone started hopping on TikTok, they had already had a period of real test and learn and understanding what works well. You don't have to be interested in that industry to find this podcast interesting. What I would say is, if you are someone who is looking for ways to kind of think differently about business, it's a really great podcast to listen to. He talks very candidly about how, kind of because of their naivety in setting up the business, they were very casual with like just trying things out, and if it didn't work, trying something new. And how now they've got investors. So he's actually had investment from Stephen Bartlett. They went on to Dragon's Den middle
Cool.
of last year. The episodes just aired. And he talks about all of that as well, about like the process, everything to do with that. It was really interesting. His mindset and how the mindset of him and his team and changing that and working on that has led to success. How he's tried loads of different things on social media and he's built different types of audiences and all of these different things. It was fascinating to listen to, but also to hear the story of a man in the luxury fashion space and how that has been a real pull to people because he, like, it's quite unusual that when you see him, you wouldn't necessarily think, ah, oh, lug like expert in luxury, like luxury goods. And him and his team know their shit. Like, the level of detail, the things they do a lot of comparisons, fake and real comparisons. And they have gone really viral recently, which are fascinating to watch. But yeah, even if you're not really interested in that space, I would say as a business owner or someone who works in the digital space in any capacity, it's definitely an interesting one to listen to and one that like there's a lot to learn from.
I've not listened to Working Hard, Hardly Working for ages, but after you mentioned that episode to me, I do definitely want to, because I'd never even heard of their company as a
No.
concept. I mean, it is so cool, and that then they've the fact that they've been able to leverage social media for luxury brands, I think is really powerful. Because how many luxury brands out there are actually like fully leveraging social media in that kind of way? Because luxury isn't like identifiable or like something that
Well,
everyone
that's the
can
thing.
associate with. So then to be able to use social media in that way and have such like a viral, like get so much traction is pretty impressive.
He also really talks about using handbags as an investment and getting away from the idea that buying a handbag is silly and frivolous. He was like, if you go and buy a classic Chanel handbag, you will make your money back on that because he's like, it won't depreciate in value in the next 5, 10 years. So in some cases, certain handbag investments are more future-proofed than like stocks, high investment ISAs, because the market doesn't change. And moving away from that stereotype that that's frivolous or silly or dumb or anything like that, and going, actually, if you can get hold of a Birkin, like an Hermes Birkin, if you can get hold of one of those and you can hang on to it, you will sell it for what you bought it for. And he's like, luxury goods are like cars, you drive them off the forecourt, they massively diminish in value. There are handbags that will never do that. It's really interesting. He talks about as well, like his childhood and why he has that affinity with luxury. I'd really recommend just going and giving it a listen. I mean, I love that series from Grace Beverly, but that episode in particular is probably one of my favorites that she's done.
I'm going to give it a listen.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about the topic for this week? I feel like it sounds like an odd one when you first hear it.
Yeah, I mean, odd maybe. We want to talk about staying consistent and removing friction to make habits easier. And I feel like it makes sense because we do speak about habits a lot. But sometimes getting started on habits can feel more difficult than it should be, and probably a lot of people, us included, don't realize what maybe the friction points are in getting started with habits.
I feel like when you start with a new habit, whenever that is, you have all this motivation and excitement. But if you don't take a moment to pause and think about why it is that you've not been able to do it in the past and what's holding you back, you're kind of just doing the same thing again. And it's really easy when you're really motivated and you first had the idea and you're like, yeah, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to prep all my meals. I'm going to work out loads, to overlook the things that make it a bit more difficult. But I think it's definitely true for me. I think you'd agree. The habits that have stuck the most and have actually been easiest to implement consistently are the ones where we've kind of removed friction points or like those hurdles at the start. Because so often you have that narrative that, oh, I can't really do that because I'm just not a consistent person. But actually, all you've done is make it so much harder for yourself than it needs to be.
Yeah. And like when we're talking about friction, we just mean like something that's kind of getting in your way, or it's holding you back, or it's disrupting or delay, like something that is, I guess, a blocker, but not, it doesn't need to be a blocker. But because it's in your life and it's maybe something that's there every day, you might not necessarily, at least at first, you might not necessarily see that it is a friction point. And I think that's what makes it really hard to identify what those blockers are in the first place. I almost feel like that's the first thing you need to do before, like you're saying, before you even start to implement the habit, just think about what it is that might be getting in the way, like the one we were speaking about earlier. But if you want to eat more healthily, that sounds like, oh, just you buy healthier food at, when you do your grocery shop, and you cook it, and that's it. But in reality, is the blocker actually that if you're absolutely exhausted every day and you come home from work, cooking a healthy meal is probably the last thing you want to do because you are knackered. So is being exhausted after work actually the blocker? And then how can you get around that, whether it is meal prepping or whether it is using a meal service a couple of days a week, or bulk prepping food, or cutting it up in the morning when you're having your coffee, or whatever it might be. Just thinking about those things that, yeah, being tired after work might not sound like a blocker because a lot of people experience it, but it could well be one for you.
And I think it's being really honest with yourself as well. A lot of people, and I've definitely been guilty of this, saying, right, I'll work out in the morning before work. I am not a morning person in the way that I used to be 5, 6 years ago. Like pre-pandemic, I was up at 6 a.m. every single day. And so on my days off, on days I work from home, I would naturally wake up at that time. And that's not the case anymore. And I've had to be quite honest with myself of like, I'm not the morning person I once was. And therefore, saying I'm going to work out in the morning is setting myself up for failure. If you can get up and you're part of the 5 a.m. club, good for you. Like, more power to you. But if you're not, then using, like, saying that's going to be your workout time is never going to yield long-term results. It's so much harder. So you're better off being really honest with yourself and saying, actually, a friction point for me is getting up early and having that energy in the morning. Do it in the evening instead. But you don't have to do it the first thing. And you kind of just set yourself up for success, that you allow yourself to have that success, which I think is really easy to overlook.
And I think that setting yourself up for success is another really key part of implementing a habit. Like, you have to make it easy for yourself to get started. Like, make it easy. I mean, it's James Clear, isn't it? Make it easy, make it obvious. Like, that might be as simple as putting your running shoes next to your bed in the morning to make sure you go for a run, or putting your vitamins right next to your laptop on your desk so that you remember to take them. Like, it's setting those things up so that, I guess, when you start a habit, having the willpower to get started and keep going in those first few days or few weeks is the hardest part. So if you can make that starting point easier, once you've started, it feels so you feel good that you're doing it. And then that's how the motivation continues. But you have to make it easy to start in the first place.
Completely. I really agree. Like, I know we both are very keen on drinking a lot of water when we first wake up in the morning, rehydrating. And that has made a huge difference. Like, even I've been doing it for what, 2, maybe 3 years now. And when if I get out of bed and I rush out of bed and I don't do that one morning, I notice it later in the day. I don't feel as like on it and as fresh headed. And I feel like I can never catch up with that hydration. But for years, I struggled to do it because it would require me to get out of bed, go into the kitchen, fill up a glass of water and drink it, which sounds so silly to admit. But as soon as I got a bottle that I couldn't knock over in my sleep, because sometimes I'm a bit of a like I just had to move around a bit in the night. And sometimes I knock things off a bedside table. And so the thought of having a glass here that could knock over, that's stressful. So have a bottle with a lid that won't spill. It's there. When I wake up in the morning, when I roll over to turn off my alarm, I literally see it in my face. So then I have to make the conscious decision to not do it. But if
Yeah,
it's
making it so easy and so obvious that you would have to go out of your way to not do it or to avoid it, I guess.
One of the things that is discussed in that episode of Working Hard, Hardly Working, which I know we have taken to be in very different like mindsets, is everything counts. So the idea that absolutely everything you do either counts towards the type of person you want to be or away from the type of person you want to be, which Helly did point out could be kind of like toxic productivity and things like that. I found it quite helpful, which I think goes to show there's a lot of nuance in like how we say things. But if you're thinking of that kind of mindset, I think drinking water first thing in the morning, taking your vitamins when they're next to your kettle or whatever, all of those little things, excuse the helicopter flying overhead right now, it's all going on in Oxford this morning. With that mindset in place, if you think of the glass of water by your bed, if you think of like your vitamins next to the kettle, you have to actively choose to put a mark in the column of closer to the person you don't want to be. And I think it's when it's on such a tiny micro level, you can then kind of check yourself and go, but why wouldn't I do this? Like, why do I think I shouldn't do this? I think a lot of habit forming and consistency is because we have a lot of like negative self-talk and self-limiting beliefs and don't think we always deserve to have those like positive habits. I don't think it's always a conscious thing, but I think the two are very closely linked.
Yeah. Also, I feel like when I said that about that quote from the podcast, the only reason I say that is because James Clear says something else very similar that is like, every action is a vote for the kind of person that you want to be, which on paper, I absolutely agree with. Like, I think in how you treat people, in the decisions you make about your day-to-day life, in the path that you choose, I absolutely agree with. However, I know personally for me, if I'm having a crap day and if I'm just feeling really awful and I decide not to go to the gym, I then use that as negative self-talk. I'm like, well, that's a vote for the kind of person you want to be. And that is someone who can't be asked and who is lazy and who doesn't get off the sofa, which I just know is not helpful. So it's definitely open to interpretation
What's so
and how
interesting
you
though
want to use it.
is when you said that, my response was, see, I hear you saying you're someone who wants to go to the gym, but actually your body needed rest and you needed to actually listen to your body and prioritize what was right for you rather than just pushing through and ignoring it. which I think is a vote in the direction of who you do want to be. Of like,
What you said just there is actually Taylor. That's Taylor's voice telling me that's your body, that you need a rest, and I choose to listen to him sometimes. Very rarely do I give myself grace.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I was going to get up and go for a gym session yesterday morning. I did not in any way have the time to do this. And I was very nasty to myself. I mean, I'm just going to go for longer today. It's fine. But I was very mean to myself about the whole thing.
Yeah,
So
I think
I'm
it
good
does
for it.
depend on your mindset. But then equally, when it comes to like friction, I guess if you do have those days that aren't as great, whether it is mindset, whether it is just because something's come up and you physically cannot make it happen, I do think if you've taken the time to remove the friction at the start, even if that friction then comes back at a later stage, like the habit is already established and it's easier to stick to because you're already seeing the benefits. So like what you said just then, you'll just go to the gym today. Like, it doesn't mean you failed the entire habit because you didn't go yesterday. Just you're back on it today. You'll go today. You'll go for longer, or you might go once more this week, or like whatever it might be. You make the adjustments, but the habit's already there because you know it feels good and you've seen the benefits from doing it longer term.
And I guess as well, it's if you then can't do it, if you can't stick to a habit on a day where you've already gone to the effort of identifying friction points and trying to remove the friction and make it easy for yourself, you can kind of take comfort in knowing that it was never going to happen that day. Like it was just not realistic. Like yesterday, I had my day planned out and I'd got my gym kit cleaned. I'd done all of those things to remove the friction, but it was just completely unrealistic from the start. There was no real way I was ever going to do it. So it's easier to then sit there and go, it just wasn't going to happen. Like, it isn't that I couldn't be bothered and that I was being lazy. I was actually just really unrealistic. And I decided I'd rather spend time with a friend who I hadn't realized was going to come down and visit us at the start of the week than say, actually, I'm not going to see you. I'm going to go to the gym instead. Like, it was never going to work, and that's okay because I know it's not a fundamental flaw in my system. It's more of just a choice I've made.
And there's a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can do this. Sometimes I feel like we talk about this stuff, but then it's hard if you don't have specific examples. But I know we've spoken before about like you do your outfit planning on a Sunday, and I'll do like my weekly calendar planning on a Sunday, and figuring out like when you're going to go to the gym or when you're going
Always.
to, like, booking in everything for the week. And I think there's a lot of different things that you might not even. Like a really good one I saw someone post a reel about was, if you want to get better at like keeping your living space tidy, they're like, have you actually created the systems for you to keep it tidy? Like, do you have hooks installed? Do you have a storage box that slides under your table or that goes in the corner behind the sofa? Small things like that. And it's like, if you struggle to keep your space tidy, is it because there's a space to put the stuff to tidy it away?
Oh my
Little things
God.
like that I hadn't even
This is
considered.
so about 6 7 weeks ago, I just like not lost it. I just went, I literally can't cope with the fact that we don't have places to hang our hand towel, our bath towel. So we were putting them on the radiator, but they weren't really drying properly. And I was like, actually, the thing that would make this easier is a hook. So I just bought like some of those suction sticky hooks for the back of our bathroom door. And you can get like little, I don't know, like S-shaped hooks to put over you at the handle of your oven to hang your
Oh,
oven
yeah.
mitts on. Oh my God, it sounds so silly. It cost me 3 quid, but my life is better. Everything is more organized. And like getting out the shower in the morning, knowing your towel is fully dry is just better. And sometimes it is as simple as saying, oh yeah, I just need to make that easier.
Yeah, definitely.
Like it's the little things. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. Hopefully it's if you're at that point in the year where you're struggling to stick with the habits you said you were going to do, hopefully this has been helpful. And even if you're on a roll, like I think it's always helpful to think about those things that would make it a little bit easier. Like we did it with meal prepping at the start of the year. We'd got into a really great routine with our breakfasts, but we were like, what is allowing us to succeed with that but then fail with lunch? And just identifying what those things are, and it does make it easier. So hopefully, you've found this helpful. We will be back next Wednesday with a brand new episode. So, do hit subscribe or follow on whatever platform you're on. Share it with your friends because that is great to get people to know about the podcast and also just give us a bit more support. And in the meantime, have a fabulous week. Bye.
Bye.